Support for NPR podcasts comes from MasterCard, accepted worldwide. There are some things money can't buy. For everything else, there's MasterCard.
From NPR Music, you're connected to All Songs Considered. I'm Bob Boylan in Washington, D.C. And through the magic of copper and fiber in New York City is my guest and today's DJ on All Songs Considered, Matt Ward. Greetings, Matt.
Hello.
And if you don't know the music of M. Ward, you should. He's made what I think is the year's best record. It's called Post-War. She said if love The song's called Poison Cup. It's from the CD Post-War. Matt, there's a familiarity that I can't shake when I listen to your music. Last night, I strapped on my 12-string guitar while I was listening to your songs, and I was singing along and I was playing with them. And the image of Buddy Holly crept in my head, and then later Roy Orbison. Does that make any sense to you?
That's a huge compliment. We listened to a lot of that era of music when we were making this record.
Is that right?
And for some reason, a lot of it was kind of, you know, this post-war production style music that was made in the middle part of the last century. And that era of music for me is probably my favorite, just because it was the birth of so many different kinds of music. And I think there was...
And you're talking about post-World War II, post-World War I.
post-World War II.
Because I would have thought post-World War I might have been your favorite. We'll talk about stuff from the 20s
that's
and 30s
not, yeah,
later.
Yeah, that's not so bad either.
But what is it about that late 40s, early 50s, well, in the case of Orbison and Buddy Holly, the late 50s, that you find attractive?
Well, from a production point of view, in my opinion, the recordings, because the technology was so simple, I think the song came through a lot better than modern technology is allowing songs to be communicated, and especially using analog technology instead of digital technology.
But your sound, when I listen to it, sounds, you've processed your voice. I can't tell that, I don't know, you tell me, is a song like Poison Cup done in a studio with a hanging microphone and or their overdubs? What are you using? You have an attraction to that stuff. Are you using?
Yeah, there's definitely overdubs, but it's all analog gear, and it's done with a very small amount of people. I guess that's what I'm shooting for is to get from the spirit of the song to the actual record with as few hands as possible touching it.
The other thing that and it didn't strike me technology-wise that was the connection between that time period for me when I was listening and playing guitar and singing along. What it was for me was it was very personal. You were singing to me without any doubt, you know, and that's what Orbison and Buddy Holly, that sort of honesty of who they're making the music for, was really direct. And I didn't attribute that to technology, though I understand your love for that analog sound.
Yeah, I guess that's one aspect of it. I mean, the songwriting style to me is superior in that era. Also, I think there was a certain amount of joy. No matter how sad the song is, you still get a certain joy from listening to these Buddy Holly's sad lyrics or Roy Orbison's sad lyrics. And so, I don't know. I'm attracted to songs that that have that balance between the darks and the lights, and giving them all, you know, equal opportunity.
Well, pick me something. You came armed as DJ today on All Songs Considered. M. Ward's here as our guest. Pick me something that you feel has the quality of that personal.
Well, one of the songs we listened to when we were making that song is a Roy Orbison song called In Dreams. And as far as the production goes on that record, which I think is one of the best ever, in my opinion, he goes from 0 to 100 miles per hour emotionally in the span of about 2.5 minutes. There's a lot of really sort of complicated chord arrangements and complicated orchestral parts, but it doesn't come off as complicated. It comes off as simple, and I think that's...
And
that's,
direct, very, very much.
Yeah, I think that's due to the quality of the song.
Let's listen to Roy Orbison in Dreams.
A candy-colored clown they call the Sandman tiptoes to my room every night, and just a sprinkle of stardust and a whisper, go to sleep, everything is all right. I close my eyes, then I drift away into the magic night. I softly say a silent prayer, like dreamers do. Then I fall asleep to dream my dreams of you.
His vocal range is quite extraordinary. Your singing, because I was singing along with it, is you've got this wonderful high lonesomey sound that is very attractive. What do you think of yourself as a singer?
I look at the way that I sing pretty much the same way that the way I look at the way I play guitar, and it's to me it's just a stew of all the records that I've grown up listening to and admiring and trying to imitate in the studio.
When you go in and you sing a song, it sounds to me that you're afraid of waking the baby.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You don't belt it out for the most part.
Well, I've never been that terribly interested in getting my angst onto the tape. You know, it's I've never been convinced that anybody really cares to hear about that. I'm more interested in trying to record something that's going to last and hopefully mean something to somebody, maybe 1 or 2 or 3, 4 or 5 years down the line, maybe.
Well, I'd like to listen to a song that was done a few years back. It's called Vincent O'Brien, A Song of Yours. It's the one song when I first started listening to you that over and over again I sang inside my head. God, the lyrics are just amazing. I don't know if you care to tell me what inspired it after we listened to a bit of it. But boy, what a song. Vincent O'Brien.
He only sings when he's sad, and he's sad all the time, so he sings the whole night through. Yeah, he sings in the daytime too. He only dreams when he's sad, and he's sad all the time, so he dreams the whole night through. Yeah, he dreams in the daytime too. There may be mermaids under the water, there may even be a man in the pool. Oh, but then sometime he is running out. You better get yourself together, out of Buffalo, the man.
It's hard to know what to say about lyrics. He only sings when he's sad, but he's sad all the time, so he sings the whole night through and sings like the daytime too. Where'd those words come from?
I think probably a bunch of different places. You know, when you write, normally when you're writing a song, your right brain is off and your left brain is on, and nothing is ever coming from one specific place. But if I had to say one thing, I guess it's about one particular friend that I had, and an amalgamation of a lot of friends that I have, and probably, You know, it's not that unique to me to have these kinds of friends, and you want to just sort of jolt them out of whatever malaise they happen to be in that day or that week or that lifetime or whatever. I don't know. It also occurs to me that some people might look at these records that I'm making in a similar way, that, oh, this singer must be sad, but it's... you know, I don't really know where the songs come from. All I know is that if the lyrics are sad, the music needs to be happy and have more major chords than minor chords. Whenever there's a song or a set of lyrics that seems sort of down, it gets just to be too much of a
so you cheer
a
it up a bit
to
with
minor.
The major chords.
Yeah,
and then a little more upbeat.
Yeah. And then it's vice versa, you know. If you have lyrics that are really happy, then sometimes it's fun to put minor chords behind them.
When you sing these songs, you've written them. Gosh knows where they come from, and then you start to sing them night after night after night. Does it click at all? Maybe one night in some club in Minnesota, what the song means to you that week, or I'm not talking specifically necessarily about Vincent O'Brien. But any of your songs, you're singing them, they're coming from you, you're not phoning it in, I assume, when you're on stage. What do they mean if you're not sure when you write them?
Well, they're always changing to me, especially when I talk to people who've heard the records and they have their own interpretation. And when I made my first couple records, I got into talking about what the meanings meant to me, and it was sort of a little bit of a like deflating a balloon, in that it narrows it down, and I'm always interested in other people's misinterpretations and interpretations. And yeah, that's one of the fun things about music, is leaving that door open.
Yeah. You want to pick a song perhaps that you have an interpretation of, somebody else's tune, think about what it means to you?
Yeah, well, I guess we could pick any of the cover songs that I've recorded. Which one do you fancy?
Well, I mean, my favorite song of a cover of yours is probably Sweethearts on Parade, which, do we have the Louis version of Sweethearts on Parade by any chance?
It's on Butter and Egg Man.
Yeah, I have Butter and Egg Man downstairs in my office. I'll tell you what, let's play a little of your version of Sweethearts on Parade. I will run downstairs, get the Butter and Egg Man CD, which I'm pretty sure I have, one floor below me. And
sounds
we'll play,
good.
And we'll play that, okay? So let's listen to a Louis Armstrong tune called Sweethearts on Parade.
They go my heart in three. Oh, sweethearts on parade. How I cry as they pass me by. Oh, sweethearts on parade. I'd love to join them, but well, they won't even learn. 'Cause it takes more than one to join the army of love. So how I pine just to fall in line with those sweethearts on parade.
That's M. Ward, our guest today, playing Sweethearts on Parade from the Transistor Radio CD. And let's listen to Louis Armstrong's version of that song from the CD Butter and Egg Man. Thank you. have a clue when you sit down, you know a song like Sweethearts on Parade, you sit down, you start to record it. Do you know what you're heading for in the way you altered it, in that incredible mood that you create the song? Do you know where, ahead of time, that that's where you're heading?
I know the where I want the spirit of the song, and it sounds abstract, and I guess because it is.
It so what would you describe? Describe to me what you would think of the spirit of the song without deflating that balloon too much for me.
Well, it's this particular melody and these particular lyrics remind me of certain scenes that I've seen in certain films. It reminds me of a T.S. Eliot poem, and you could put any clothes on these lyrics, and it's gonna sound pretty good. And I think that's the sign of a strong composition, is that it can wear whatever different clothes you feel like, it would still sound great. I learned how to play by going through Beatles anthologies and following the guitar chords.
Mm-hmm. Being a guitar player, one of the folks that keep coming to mind, I don't know, that you seem inspired by is the great American guitarist John Fahey. What was it about John Fahey that sparked you? You listen to Beatle records, you pick up the chords. You don't pick up the chords with John Fahey. There's a lot of finger picking going on there.
I guess the way that I was introduced to his music was, first I had some biographical information.
Tell us about John Fahey.
Well, I learned that, you know, he's from Oregon. How many guitarists do you know that are from Oregon?
And from my town, too, Tacoma Park, Maryland.
And
is where
originally from Maryland, yep. At the time that I heard about him, I heard that he was just this guy from Oregon who had recorded dozens of records using the solo guitar instrumental, the steel solo guitar instrumental, mm-hmm. combining blues with classical music, which to me sounded insane. And a friend of mine gave me a record of his called The Yellow Princess, and he helped me see the potential of throwing your guitar pick away and using your right hand to create these, you know, the bass and the treble and the rhythm at the same time.
Let's listen to a little John Fahey for those who don't know the remarkable John Fahey. Fahey died, in 2001, I think, and we miss him dearly, but he's got a legacy of wonderful records. What one would you like to hear?
Let's hear Poor Boy.
Okay. I'm not sure what year that's from. My guess would be the late 60s. Do you know when Poor Boy was done?
I'm pretty sure that sounds about right. I'm bad with the years,
okay,
exactly.
One of the amazing things, if you live in Washington, there's, in my estimation, there are probably two great radio shows on Washington radio. One of them is a fellow named Dick Spotswood. And Dick and John were friends together. Dick Spotswood, sort of a musicologist, sort of helped turn Fahey onto some of these old bluesy records and so forth. You can certainly hear his inspiration in old blues music and something that he put his own voice into, for sure.
It's a really mysterious combination. I mean, that particular song is just pretty much straight ahead 1-4-5 progression, but I guess the thing that turned me onto it is the complexity going on in the right hand.
Mm-hmm. And the finger picking.
Mm-hmm.
Let's listen to a piece of music of yours, and it's not so much to compare one guitarist to another, I don't want to do that, but just so people can understand how you can fall in love with a musician and they sort of start to creep into your music, and not in a copycat way, but more just as a springboard, let's say. I'm going to play a tune called Silver Line.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
you're about to take off into another level there with a lot of nice distortion and stuff. We have the entire versions of most of the songs we play on the show for you to listen to without our conversation on the website, npr.org/allsongs. My guest is M. Ward. You seem to understand something a lot of musicians are forgetting or not caring about, which is the art of the album. You seem to make records that are really meant to be listened to from beginning to end, I think.
Well, part of the fun of it for me is to create something that feels as satisfying as, you know, reading a good book that ideally takes you somewhere, either chronologically or geographically. That's what my favorite records are able to do, and that's what my favorite films are able to do. It seems that records can still have that potential.
You seem to have a bit of a fascination with some music by the Beach Boys and a couple of periods, some of the surfier stuff. I hear it in the song Neptune's Net. I also heard it on the Transistor Radio. You did a Beach Boy cover there. Fascination with them?
Well, for me, there's a special fascination with music or authors who are talking about the place where you were born and where you came from. And I was born in Southern California, so I guess his music does occupy a special place inside of me that is mythical, you know, but...
You're talking about Brian Wilson here.
Yeah, and I guess it's not so much the lyrics, but the spirit of the songs that take me back to where I was born.
Pick me a song of the Beach Boys that you would like to hear today.
Well, there's so many. One of my favorites is Don't Talk.
Put Your Head on My
From
Shoulder.
From Pet Sounds.
Yeah.
And we could pick any, really.
Okay. Well, let's do that. Let's pick Don't Talk, Put Your Head on My Shoulders. This is from the Beach Boys' Pet Sound record, which was just recently reissued, 40th Anniversary Collection.
I can hear so much in your sound, and I can see so much in your eyes. There are words we both could say.
How do you write chord progressions like that?
Man, I wish I knew.
Were you writing primarily on the guitar?
Most of the time, yeah.
When you record, are you doing that in home studios?
Well, all the songs start off on 4-track in my bedroom, in my house. And then eventually, when it comes time to make a record, I go through all these 4-track tapes and try to find songs that seem to fit together. Mm-hmm. And it's usually about 20, 25 songs. Mm-hmm. And then we take those to the thicker tape, yeah.
I'd like to play a song that's puzzled me. And since I have the privilege of having M. Ward here as my guest, I can ask you a question about this song that hopefully, again, won't pop a bubble. But I think you're saying something that I just didn't understand the words to. So let's play a bit of the top of the song. Called Helicopter. That's from the record Transfiguration of Vincent.
Mm-hmm.
just want to stop the CD for one second. What? This song is what you say is recorded before.
Yeah. Right. What am I saying?
Should we play it back for you one more time? It sounds like before the war, but I didn't.
I like that. Let's make it there.
This song is
let's
recorded before there. The war. Okay, let's rewind a little and let you decide what it is, and then play a little of Helicopter.
Somewhere in the city, I am climbing up a fire escape. I am somewhere in the city, I am climbing up a fire escape. I have got to save my baby from a mess this world has made. I arrive through a window, I leave through a hole in the wall. I arrive through a window, I leave through a hole in the wall. I scramble down the stairwell with my baby, cradle and all. Helicopter, helicopter, let your long rope down. Let us sway into the sunset, I have done all I can do in this town.
Got to save my baby from the mess this world has made. We picked lots of music from the past that you've loved. What do you listen to that's contemporary that that we can play for people?
One of the CDs that's burning a hole in my CD player is the last record by My Morning Jacket. It's called Z.
Oh, that's a great record.
Let's do my favorite song from that one. It's called Knot Comes Loose.
Oh, yeah. Okay. This is My Morning Jacket. Jim James, he does that thing to me that you do, which is sings right to the heart. Mm. You ever think of when you fall in love with a contemporary, to call him up and say, would you like to do something together?
You know, he sings on my new record on a couple songs.
Oh, and I didn't even notice.
Yeah. We've been working together off and on. Well, we met, I guess it was maybe 3 years ago. We did a tour with Conor Oberst. We've done two tours now around America where we just play acoustic guitars, and our friend Mike Mogus,
producer and multi-instrumentalist.
Yeah, so the four of us have a band that is now being called the Monsters of Folk, which we really love. Jim's played on a few songs from my last two records, and he's an amazing talent. I feel like he could do anything with music.
I love his singing and his writing style, too. It does cut right to the chase, doesn't it?
Yeah, he's freakishly good.
It's been wonderful to talk with you. You're on the road with a band. Who's in the band?
Rachel Blumberg is playing drums.
Great drummer. Was in the Decemberists for a while.
Yep. Jordan Hudson is adding other percussion and playing vibes. And Adam Selzer is playing bass and guitar. And Mike Kirkendall is also playing guitar and bass and keys.
Well, I hope I get to see you on this tour. And thanks for doing this.
Yeah, come by and say hello.
Would love to. M. Ward, his new CD is called Postwar. I'm Bob Boylan with All Songs Considered. Let's go out on an M. Ward tune from the new record. It's called Right in the Head.
To call into me, I hope he don't forget where he came from. I hope he never has to deal with wrong in someone. 'Cause I lived with many girls when I was younger, and I will live with many girls until I go. I hope he's right in the head. I hope he's right in the head. I hope he's right in the head, even if he had to wrong someone. I hope he's right in the head. I hope he's right in the head. I hope he's right in the head, even if he had to wrong someone.